Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hello, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Happy Christmas Eve if you are listening to this on the day that it is published, or happy Christmas, happy New Year, happy holidays, whatever it is that you are celebrating. I hope your time is fun and your travels are safe. This is an episode about Santa, or that is at least a central theme for the story that you're about to hear. I am going to suggest that if you have people in your life who are happily or excitedly awaiting the entry of Santa into your space or his arrival, that you might want to press pause and perhaps wait until that time in anticipation has passed. I'm going to give you a few seconds to do that, and you can press play at a more appropriate time. You know, one of the things that I would love while we're sitting here waiting for some folks to press pause, I love like non-traditional Christmas stuff. So one of my favorite albums is the Twisted Christmas album. I just love that album. There's so many hilarious songs on there. I enjoy the fun side of Christmas, or the funny side of Christmas. So on the Facebook post, throw the titles or links to videos of some of your favorite songs. I was just introduced to the song called Joel, the Lump of Coal. It's very cute and sweet. Sweet? I'm not sure sweet is the right word. Maybe it is. I probably need a better word for that. Christmas song. Great little story song if you like story songs. So this story that I'm about to share with you is by our good friend of the podcast, Carrie Beckin, and I swear it was not a plan for Carrie to be the sidekick on the podcast lately, but that's just kind of how some things turned out, and I ran with it. This is not your traditional Santa story, and I think it's important just to tell you where the inspiration for this podcast even came from. So I was at an event, and Carrie told this story, and I was very struck by it and curious about it. And then her story sparked somebody else to tell their story on the similar lines of the philosophy around sharing Santa with our kids and how do we do that and how do we best do that. And she had this amazing story about it was a mother, daughter, and it was a great trust building relationship moment for them around the honesty around Santa Claus. And I wanted to share that with you, but long story short, due to things going on in that person's life, that didn't happen, sadly. So I'm just going to have Carrie's, although I am told that I will have it for next year. So I am excited to share that with you. There's your teaser for next December podcast. I'm excited to share Carrie's story with you. I wish we could all be sitting in a room together and having a chat about it over hot chocolate. I think that would be fun, because that is what I love about these things, is the conversations that come out of them and the thought processes that take them further. So again, feel free to comment below the podcast, either on Facebook or on the show notes or whatever. I'd love to hear your feedback, because everybody has their own experiences and their own thoughts, and I love to hear them. Definitely not the same as in person. Hey, maybe if you want to enter in your Santa story for next year, let me know. I'm good to get a head start on next year's show. I can work with that. I want to call out a couple things for recent guests who have been on the podcast for the holiday specials that they have put together. Cookie Killian, who was on our show just a couple weeks ago, she is a manual therapist and massage therapist, and she has thrown together a podcast special, and then she also has a holiday special. So her podcast special is $25 off your first massage if you have not worked with her. And again, she's a massage therapist and a manual therapist, and so it's massage on steroids in a very, very good way. And I have to put a shout out and thank her, because she saved me. I have been having problems with my shoulder and neck again lately, and it's one of those things where sometimes I will wake up and I literally have to lift my head off the pillow, or my arm is just, my shoulder is just, it's very uncomfortable. It feels like the entire circulation is going out of my neck or my hand, and that was happening to me yesterday. It was very painful, And she worked me in and helped me out today. And I would not be coming to you with as much energy and joy as if I would not have gotten that relief, because it was very uncomfortable. So, I thank you, Cookie. And just wanted to remind you to connect up with her, cookiekillian.com. You can find her on Facebook if you're here in Duluth, to get some hands-on work with her. Her special goes until January 3rd. And she also has a package, buy 5 massages, get the 6th one free. So check out the details on that in episode 111, or give Cookie a call if you want to work with her. Great chance to check out her work or to check out her package. So I will put her contact information in show notes. Carrie, whose story is about to be shared with us. Carrie is a coach and she works with people in transition, and people who are trying to kind of get out of the area that they're in, get out of the stuck and move to a new place. And the special she's offering is Finish 2019, Focused and Fearless. It's sort of a suite of opportunities in her offering. And that includes a single 45-minute coaching session with Carrie for $25, which is a great deal and a really nice opportunity to get to find out if you're a good fit to work with her and really work on something in that 45 minutes. And if you've ever worked with a coach, you know that you can actually get some things done in 45 minutes. She also is offering a package for 3 60-minute coaching sessions for $100 for those 3 sessions. And you can definitely get some stuff done in that time. And she's offering an ELI assessment. This is something I have not done with her, but I am very curious about it. It's the Energy Leadership Index Assessment with a 60-minute follow-up to talk about that assessment. And that's $100. And she normally doesn't offer that as a loan type of thing. So that's kind of a special thing as well. So again, I'll put her information on the podcast notes and you can learn more about her. If you want to learn more about these folks and their specials, please check out the podcast. You can even do a little search in the podcast page on the wellnessrenpodcast.com page. There's a little magnifying glass and you can put in Cookie or you can put in Carrie, K-A-R-I, and all of their episodes will pop up and you can listen and learn about them if you would like to do that as well. So if you are new to the podcast, that is the quick way to find out about the folks and the specials that I just talked about. All right, I am about to play for you Carrie's story. She actually sent this to me, so we didn't do it as an interview. It is her telling her story. And again, it's a very delightful and thoughtful story. And it's, well, you know what? I'm not going to say anymore. Here's Carrie's story.
Hello, everyone. My name is Carrie, and the amazing Judy Brewer asked if I would be willing to share a holiday memory. So we're going to give this a whirl. It is a very interesting phenomenon as we grow older, and we, most of us, have navigated at some point in our journeys different crossroads and changes and sometimes very big transitions in our lives. And oftentimes when that happens, we find ourselves taking time to reflect, looking back into the past, sort of seeing things a little bit differently than we did before. Reframing, connecting dots, all of these different things. And this is sort of what has been, for me, a pretty ongoing process over the last few years. I navigated a pretty large change in my life. And just the nutshell version of that is, because it's relevant to what I'm going to share, is I went from being an all-in fundamental religious person to stepping into my queer, progressive, secular, humanist, and agnostic atheist identity. And as you can imagine, with that came a lot of rubble sifting. And so part of that sifting process for me has been looking back and remembering things and reflecting on things. And recently in a conversation, this particular memory came up. And so I want to take you back to 1975, 1976. I was about 4 or 5 years old. And what I've been working on is really piecing this story and this memory together. And there are bits of it that I actually can remember, little pieces that are like flashes in my mind. The rest have really been filled in by either looking at like a photograph or stories that, you know, people have told about that as I grew up. And then actually having a conversation with a couple people recently, asking them about what they remembered, even specifically now, thinking back on that time. And so 1975, 1976, I'm 4 or 5 years old. And apparently I had a very skeptical, critically thinking mind. I was pretty sharp. I had come to the conclusion, based on the evidence, that the handwriting on the gift wrapping paper was my mother's, that Santa Claus was not real. And so, because I was still pretty young, and my first younger brother had just recently been born, the adults in my life had come to the agreement that I was too young to have come to this conclusion, that it was too early. And so they ended up putting together this really, you know, looking back on it, was a really amazing thing for parents and family to do for a kid. And so I remember that Christmas Eve, we were sitting around the large table at my grandparents' in their farm. It was their farmhouse kitchen, one of my favorite, absolutely favorite places to be as a child. Whenever we visited there, I loved it. And we were having dinner. And in the middle of dinner, there was this knock on the door. And so somebody went to answer it. And in comes Santa Claus with my gifts. And apparently, what I've been told is that, you know, my eyes, I was very stunned, excited, shocked, but also still skeptical, because apparently I scanned the room and I looked around the table to make sure that nobody was missing. Was there anybody missing? Was there an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, a parent, a grandparent? Was anybody missing who could possibly be Santa Claus? And no one was missing. And so in my 4 or 5 year old mind, holy shit, Santa Claus is standing in front of me. And the magic was like all on, right? It was like all the magic was back. And I also remember being going out afterwards. My dad took me out and we looked at the actual tracks in the snow, the reindeer tracks and the sleigh tracks. And I mean, that just sealed the deal, right? So I was a true believer in Santa Claus from that moment on. And what's interesting is I found out later, just actually recently, after having some recent conversations, that the person who played Santa Claus happened to be my mom's youngest sister. So my aunt, who was in high school at the time, she was like 15. It was her high school boyfriend who happened to be playing Santa Claus for a couple different families in that small town area. And he had come to do that because they knew that they were trying to, you know, reinstall this imagination in me. And so he came and he actually made the tracks in the snow as further evidence so that I would believe again. And so, I mean, yeah, right? Amazing memory. And it is. It makes me smile to think of that moment. But what's interesting is now, as an adult, some 40 plus years later, reflecting on that moment, and having spent the majority of my life really steeped in a fundamental religious mindset, I actually began to wonder if that experience didn't presuppose me to becoming more susceptible to the magical thinking that comes with these meta narratives that we create in the religious world. And in fact, it was sort of this kind of thinking as I've learned more about neuroscience and how, as when we're young kids from the age of 0 to 7, we're sort of like these open, empty containers that are filled with whatever happens to come our way. And so as I've been learning more and more about that, that's what sort of triggered this memory in me, and sort of remembering that I'd had this really powerful experience and how I had gone from really being critically thinking and skeptical and to just being all into the imagination and the magic. And I'm not like against imagination and magic and I love stories, but really weighing the extent of to which we bring this into our culture and into our young people's lives, and what kind of impact maybe is it having overall. So that is my holiday Christmas memory, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with everyone. If you have opinions or thoughts on that and how the idea of Santa Claus and how Santa Claus is part of what we do in this culture, in this day, it would be great to have some comments, have some dialogue. I think it's worth a conversation. So happy holidays to everyone, whatever you celebrate or don't celebrate. And I hope that all of your friends and family are healthy, and that you step into 2020 with just an amazing outlook and just a great new year ahead. Thanks.
Thanks, Carrie. Thanks for sharing your story. That was fantastic and very cool. And oh my gosh, how cool is it that your family, that her family, was willing to go out of their way to keep the magic alive? It's a very interesting question. So this is an interesting topic for me because I am trying to figure out how I feel about it. Like, I love the fact that her family was willing to do these things for her to keep the magic alive. I also think about my own experience with Santa and the things that I wondered when I was a kid. And my parents would not have gone out of their way to do that. But I wonder if they had, if it would make me wonder, me personally, wonder, wow, what else are you doing to, once I understood the reality of Santa Claus, what else are you doing to put me in a position or to make something so real as to have me believe it? So that's my question. For me personally, I think that I am not sure how much I really believed in Santa Claus. Like, I don't know the answer to that, really. I'd like to go back and visit my little kid mind, because I know I had some questions. We didn't have a chimney. I knew Santa wasn't coming in the fake fireplace that we had. That was not a fake actual fireplace. It was a Christmas decoration. I also knew we didn't leave our doors unlocked, and I knew we didn't leave our windows unlocked. And I remember laying in bed. I remember my mom or my dad talking about listening for Santa on the roof. And I don't know. I think I felt uncomfortable with it. And maybe I didn't. Maybe it was because they weren't good enough actors. Like, my parents were not great actors in situations like that. But they also weren't so flippant that I knew that they were not telling the truth either. And so I think I sort of sat in this place of, I don't quite know what to think about this, but something doesn't feel right about it. And I love to hear what parents do who do not have Santa Claus enter into their family Christmases. I was just reading a blog by a woman who is a Christian, and she was basically saying that they don't do Santa at their house because they believe that Christmas is for God and Jesus' birthday, and that's the focus that they want to present. And that's the focus that they want to have in their household. And I find it interesting because I know certainly many parents who have used Santa as a tool
to keep their kids behaving during Christmas time, especially. I don't know what I think about that. Maybe there are uses and misuses of Santa Claus that can be fun and interesting and appropriate. And I'm always interested in hearing what people who don't teach Santa in their house, what they tell their kids to allow other kids to keep that mystery alive in their family. And I was thinking about the other day, how come we don't actually tell the story of St. Nicholas, like the origination of where Santa came from in the first place, like that whole story that I know I've heard different versions of too. But, you know, is it okay to talk about that and share that? I mean, that is true giving spirit. And it's a real person that somebody can relate to. You know, as a child, it's really cool that this guy gives you presents, but probably not going to grow up to have elves and reindeer that can help us do all of these wonderful things. And at the same time, I'm not trying to kill all magic and wonder either, just to be really, really clear. I just think Carrie's question is a really good one. And, you know, the other question I have is too, is what happens when your kid comes to you and asks questions? Do you double down or do you let them in on the secret and help them keep it for other kids, perhaps? I can imagine that can be a tricky thing when that comes up in the household, especially if there's multiple kids and it is something you want to keep alive. I don't know if you saw this, and I will put this on the show notes, but there was a study done about when people stop believing in Santa Claus. And Minnesota, the state that I'm in, came in at 9 years old. Wisconsin, a very close neighbor, came in a little bit under 8. Some of the other states above 9 were Iowa, Hawaii, the District of Columbia, Delaware. And the lowest was Oregon at 7.4. And oh, Mississippi is 10.2. So that is the highest. They also had a list of the percentage of Americans who have never believed in Santa Claus. And Minnesota came in at 6.0%. Wisconsin came in at 1.2. Interestingly enough, Iowa came in at 9.8% of kids that never believed in Santa Claus. New Mexico and Vermont at 10%. Maine, Tennessee, Utah, and West Virginia have 0%. So basically nobody in that state said that they didn't ever believe in Santa Claus. So at some point they all believed in Santa Claus. And a point of note that I just think is funny, and I get it on some level, but I still think it's funny. 4,580 people were contacted for this. And I just think of how many things we have, be they medication and drug trials and various other scientific studies that have an effect on our daily lives much more than this does. And we have way less people in those trials. I also understand this is a phone call and it's much different and much less expensive to do than many other things. And I was actually impressed. I actually thought that was a pretty big number. I wasn't expecting that many. I don't remember. I looked at a study last week, I think it was, and I cannot recall what in the world it was, but I know the number of this study that was somewhat significant to our world was like under 1,000 people. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. But over 4,000. So good job, guys. I will put the link in the notes so you can check it out yourself if you're curious. And this is a 2019 study, by the way. All of the phone calls they said were done in mid-November. So I didn't get called for that one. I don't honestly know what I would have said had I gotten called for that one. So I'm kind of glad they didn't call me so I don't skew the numbers. I want to thank you so much for listening. Check out the rest of the podcast episodes at wellnessrenpodcast.com. Also on iTunes and other places that you are listening to your podcasts. If you like the work we do here at Wellness Renaissance, please consider supporting us through Patreon. That is so huge and appreciated. And remember, if you are buying those post-Christmas gifts through Amazon, stop by at the wellnessrenpodcast.com website and click on one of the Amazon links on Support the Podcast and do your shopping through there and Wellness Renaissance gets a little bit of support through the purchases that you make. And I want to thank the people who are doing that. We really do appreciate that. Thank you so much for thinking of us when you are doing your Amazon shopping. I hope that whatever and however you are celebrating, it is full of fun and joy and happiness. And I hope that you get to spend some time with people that feed you and make you feel alive and that you have some great conversations. And if you are one of those people who are spending your holidays alone, for whatever reason that is, and there can be many, many of them, I hope that you are able to find something that you can do that feeds your soul and brings joy to your being and feels unique and fun and celebratory for yourself. You know, it's funny, as I'm literally saying those words, I'm having a Christmas day, like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, come back to me when I was young, not super far from moving out of my parents' house. And our family had Christmas on a different day, and I think we were yet to have it, actually. And so I was spending my Christmas alone, and I remember probably listening to the Carpenters' Christmas album. That was something I always did on Christmas, and some of my other Christmas albums. And then I remember very vividly cleaning my oven, and it felt really good to do that. It felt like I had this whole day to myself, and I didn't have to work, and I didn't have anything else, and it was so wonderful. And I cleaned my oven. I think I felt really adult. And I remember laying on the floor and listening over and over to the song More Than Likely, which is a Boy George and PM Dawn duet that has this just mystical kind of sound to it, that if you lay between the speakers, that it just kind of flows over you, and it's this amazing sound. And I watched Dying Young, a movie with Julia Roberts. That was my Christmas. What's funny is that I remember that Christmas so vividly, and I really enjoyed my day. So I don't know what that means or what that says about me or my world at all, but that's what I did. And I remember that it was wonderful and delightful, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I remember it now, many, many years later. So whatever holiday means to you, enjoy it. May you continue to find pieces that fit beautifully into your health and wellness puzzle. Take good care. We'll see you next week.